coming up?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Oh, I really must research that script.
How do you say that?
Getting into the wetness of your voice that makes it feel multidimensional.
I'm so glad that was a PG story.
It was a very PG story.
My hand was in the shape of a pistol.
I put my finger up.
Careful.
PG podcast.
That's how big this is gonna be, guys.
Slow is actually the key.
The more we went through that, I thought how inappropriate my choice was.
I didn't even pay him to say that.
Oh, you're doing very well today, boys.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. Here is Mark Rice, my co-host.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'll be me then. Hello.
Yes, you over there. Hi.
And that's Sam Boffin over there, my co-host.
Hello.
So every week, we ask ourselves and a special guest the question, how do you say that? Mm. And we answer it by reading scripts out loud. It is such a simple concept.
I know. How have we got away with it for so long?
Ridiculous concept,
but basically, because there isn't just one way to read a script. There are lots of different ways. So, Sam, a bit of true or false for you. I can't sleep if it's complete darkness. True or false?
Wow. Okay. So you have to have a little night light on, do you? Little Mark? Sorry.
Patronising much.
Oh, well, I think that is probably true.
It is true. Absolutely. I cannot sleep if it's complete dark. Never have been able to since I was about
really?
7. No. I always have to have some kind of light there.
Okay, so my true or false is, I was once sent home from guide camp because I was found at night in the scout's tent. Is that true or is that false?
I so want it to be true. What age am I allowed to ask a supplementary question?
Well, I suppose I was about 10.
I want it to be true, so I'm going to say true.
It is true.
What were you doing in the boys'
my
tent?
My sister and me and a friend. My sister came up with a brilliant idea. She's 2 years older than me, so she's about 12. The brilliant idea of playing. She liked playing cards.
Yeah.
Anyway, she found these scouts and she befriended them in the day. And she said, well, let's go and play, cards at night. So we all went into their tent. But my favourite bit, actually, of the whole thing is that we were playing cards. It was all very innocent. And then I can't even remember what they're called now. The leader of the guides. Anyway, sort of came to the
Arcala.
Mouth. Is it? I don't know. I can't
is
remember.
It Arcala, is it something like that?
That feels a bit scouty, actually.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Anyway, but they came to the mouth of the tent anyway and said, girls, what do you think you're doing in here? And we all looked at my sister, who was kind of leader of the pack. And she sort of sat up and went, oh, I think we're in the wrong tent. And we knew at that point the whole thing was lost.
I'm so glad that was a PG story.
It was a very PG story.
Thank God.
It was playing cards with the scouts. Very boring.
Well, of course, we also have our very special guest this week. It's voice actor Martin Wiskin. Hello, Martin.
Hello. How are you both?
Hello.
It is lovely to have you along. Are you in Kent today?
I am in Kent today, and most days, to be fair, yeah.
Fair enough.
Garden of England.
Indeed. All right, Sam, let's find out a little bit more about Martin, shall we?
Yes. So Martin has been working as a voice actor for about 5 years, having taken a left turn from 2 decades as a database manager. And before he was a database manager, he pierced ears, sold advertising space and packaged up newspapers.
Wow. There was also a short period as a champion long jumper. He loves music, comedy and knows quite a lot about 80s and 90s wrestling, believe it or not.
Oh, wow, very quirky.
Well, welcome along, Martin. Have you got a fun fact that's more even fun than that?
A fun fact? Well, no, it's not more fun than that now, I don't think. I think that intro was very nice, thank you. My fun fact is I once bunked off of school.
What?
Hang on, is this a PG story as well?
Yes, it is.
Thank God.
I once bunked off school to go to a different school to be part of a band that was playing at the Royal Festival Hall, live on Radio 2.
Nice.
Oh, well, that's a cool
fun fact. That's
yeah.
a cool fun
to bunk
fact,
off school.
Yeah.
So how old were you, Martin, when you did that?
18, so I was in my last year of school, so they were used to 18. Me bunking off at that point.
Well, I think that's the coolest reason to bunk off I've ever heard, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So no bunking off today, though. Let's have a look at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
Now, Sam, Martin, you are going to love this, but for very different reasons.
I think Martin is going to genuinely love it, and I am going to genuinely not.
Well, Martin knows quite a lot about 80s and 90s wrestling. I'm thinking that that might give him a clue in a way.
So when I was looking at it before the show, is there, and it's a structure thing, I think I'm going to ask, if I may.
Okay.
Is it introducing two separate fighters?
These are all separate lines.
Got you.
It's a video game, and this is the announcer in a boxing ring.
Yep.
And they sent me two examples of very, very famous boxing announcers.
Yep.
So they want the whole big ready to rumble thing. So yep. Within the game, they're all separate lines.
Oh, that is useful.
Yeah.
That is very useful. Okay.
Somehow, in my head, I managed to make it into one.
I'm quite impressed by that.
Oh God, so did I. Yeah. I thought it was one follow-on, and so and consequently, it was an interesting question that you asked. But I'm glad you asked it because I don't think we would have got there otherwise.
It is big, this Sam.
I'm not necessarily going to do it big. Actually.
That's fine, but that's what they asked for.
Absolutely, I am going to do my version of this.
Fair enough.
I mean, it'll be big for me.
Yes.
But it won't be, I suspect, big enough for you.
Okay. I'm just going to say it was quite big, even for me.
Bloody hell. All right. Well, I'm definitely not going to be big enough for you. I'll do Sam's version of
that's
boxing
good.
Announcements.
It's good.
Okay?
Okay. Fighters ready. Hailing from Territory 5832, Billy Tanton. Coming in at 167 pounds, the lean, mean fighting machine. Entering the ring is a vicious young fighter from Denmark, loves hurting his opponents. He's like a bull. He doesn't know when to quit.
Well, this is the first time we've met. So.
Ooh, Sam.
No, I think...
Don't hold back.
Just... because I've interpreted it really differently. So I would have liked more aggression.
Yes. I can understand that.
And not just because of my love of wrestling from the 80s and 90s.
I think if I was down the line from you, Sam, I would have given you the note that I've heard you give to people. If it's not big enough to start with, I can't pull you back from anywhere.
That was big for me.
I know.
But mainly, of course, because I wouldn't be... well, if I was cast to do this kind of thing, I wouldn't be cast to do the same way.
No, I appreciate that entirely.
It's very difficult to do something you can't do.
Oh, I know you can do it.
No, I don't think I can.
Interesting.
I actually don't think I can.
And it's okay to know that as well, isn't it?
Well, it is. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing where your line is and what you're good at and what you're not good at is absolutely right.
I absolutely cannot do everything by any stretch of the imagination.
And you've never claimed that you can either.
I have never claimed that.
I think after 120 episodes, it's worthwhile reminding people we're not here as like claiming that we're expert in everything by a long piece of chalk.
This is so far out of my comfort zone, so far out of my knowledge zone as well. You know, I just, and contrary to popular belief, I don't spend 2 hours prior to this episode, you know, going, oh, I really must research that script.
That's fair.
Usually
that's fair.
I come to the script, you know, fairly unprepared in many ways.
Turning on a sixpence, though, I thought I understood the character. I knew exactly where you were. I knew what you were doing. I knew who you were introducing. So from that point of view, absolutely, 100%. If I was to give you one pointer of where to go with it is take the vowel sounds and elongate them.
I think I did a little bit of that on one of
them.
Yes,
and you did right at the beginning. And I
That's
thought
the one.
On the word fighters, you were going to continue down that route, but you didn't.
No.
I'm going to go big in a slightly different way.
Ooh, exciting.
Nice. I'm going to try and move my mic slightly out of the way because I'm worried it might blow.
That's how big this is going to be, guys.
It's going to be really weedy now.
I just took a little step back.
Fighters, ready. Hailing from Territory 5832, Billy Tanton. Coming in at 167 pounds, the lean, mean fighting machine. And now, Entering the ring is a vicious young fighter from Denmark. Loves hurting his opponents. He's like a bull. He doesn't know when to quit. Lovely.
Nice characterization. Ooh, I mean, I didn't mind the extemporizing around it, because actually I was thinking with my editor hat on, it would be easy to snip those out if the director in the end didn't want that. I thought, nice characterization, Sam.
I love the lovely on the end. I enjoyed all that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're recording for games, some directors don't mind that and some absolutely go, stick to the words.
So on the that I would probably put that last as a sort of as a bonus take.
I love it. Here's a bonus word for you.
On the one hand, I was thinking it's slower than I would have expected. But on the other hand, I would have imagined, I don't know this, but in the game itself, you'd probably be mic'd up to sound as though you were on a big, you know, mic system with lots of crowd noise underneath it.
Absolutely.
So that slowness would translate really well to any extras that they were going to put on the sound, if you like.
When you say slow is actually the key.
But that's what I mean, is that it made me realise that you've got to go slow, because then it will work in the context of the scene it's being played in.
Exactly, because you're G-ing the crowd up for these fighters to come in and beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, this is why it was just so my thing. It's just what I love to do.
Shall I show you what I did? Fighters ready! Hailing from Territory 5832, Billy Tenton! Coming in at 167 pounds, the lean, mean fighting machine! Entering the ring is a vicious young fighter from Denmark! Loves hurting his opponents! He's like a bull. He doesn't know when to quit.
Do you know, that was so not what I was expecting you to do.
That was loud, wasn't it?
It was quite loud.
Definitely loud. Loud I was expecting, actually. Loud, yeah. But I wasn't expecting for it to sound like you.
Okay.
Which is ridiculous, of course, because, of course, we always sound like ourselves.
I did give them an American version of it, interestingly. Yeah. But they didn't go with the American version of it.
That is exactly how I would expect you to do, you, Mark. If somebody said, right, we're going
to
hire you
to do that
at the local
real.
Boxing thing, for real.
Interesting.
So that was fascinating, because I don't know, I think I was expecting a different character, weirdly. Oh. But it worked, it was great. What did you think? You're much more au fait with this,
yes, Mark? I enjoyed it. The first line threw me into a picture of gladiators, because... Gladiators ready, and that's where I was going in my mind, and it worked. So it set me in the, you know, that sort of combat zone straight away.
Play. How do you say that?
It is worthwhile remembering that these are real scripts we've been working on, but we have changed the names and some of the details to avoid copyright issues. And while we're on the subject of scripts, you can find both the ones we're using today in the show notes of the episode.
You can indeed. And so, Martin, tell us a bit about your script, would you?
The client I've actually known through networking groups for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years now. And he says, I don't want something that's just like every other telephone message.
And I think that's the thing that good marketing people are beginning to realise now. Do something different and people will listen.
Yeah,
they will respond.
Yeah.
And I get quite a lot of different stuff in terms of telephone stuff. So this is fascinating, I think.
Yeah, I've been banging that drum for a couple of years about do something different on your phone line. Because if someone's ringing round in the evening, trying to get hold of, I don't know, anything, you know, an emergency appointment somewhere, if you're the one that stands out for being slightly different, they'll remember you. A couple of days later, he sent through about 10 scripts that he'd written, all in different genres of film. So there was like,
yeah,
it was amazing. So Western, horror, sci-fi, all these different ones.
Lovely.
But this is the one that he went for in the end.
Is this a robot or is it, you know, a captain of a ship?
This is the TV announcer. The idea is that this is a faux 1960s sci-fi television show and it's just the intro.
Interesting. Oh.
Yeah, I would have gone so many different ways
with
this. Yeah,
me too.
You could do it so many different ways.
That's fascinating.
Right.
Did he suggest American style?
And he said, no, he wants it to be British because he's
okay.
He's in this country.
He's a British company. Okay. Oh, interesting. That puts a.
Ooh, I wonder where you're going to go with this. Then that's very interesting.
Right. Okay.
Okay, Matt.
Try and TV announcer '60s like. Outsource marketing is on a deep space mission. Your message is crucial. Leave coordinates and we'll warp back as soon as we enter range. The future awaits.
Yes.
Tough.
Felt that deep in your heart.
Yeah, it was somewhere, but it was quite punchy, wasn't it? I thought there was a kind of like clipped almost. And I think that really worked. That sort of made me feel that it was
not so clipped that we were back in the 50s.
Yes.
But I was trying to imagine the kind of sound effects that would have gone around that as well.
I think if I clarify then, I think this was the, rather than the continuity announcer, it was the voiceover on the intro to the show.
Okay.
Yes, that makes more sense. Yes.
More dramery. Well, as I say, I still don't know what's going to come out. Okay.
Outsource marketing is on a deep space mission. Your message is crucial. Leave coordinates and we'll warp back as soon as we re-enter range. The future awaits.
Oh, nice.
I liked that. I thought you actually hit a zone that was just right.
I thought you were the voice inside a spaceship, like coming through the tannoy in the spaceship.
Yeah,
That's exactly what I felt.
I'm glad that came across because that is what I did. And I put my finger up as if I was...
Careful.
Put my finger up.
PG podcast.
Yeah, you're right. This could go into a lot...
I'm so sorry.
And then thought, that's just as bad, actually. So, yes, I put my, as if I was... Oh, God. This is
held my hand in the air.
The point is I did something with my finger.
Yes, okay. And,
yes, in a 1960s way.
You did something with your finger in a 1960s way. Okay, blimey, it gets worse.
Let's draw a line under this little moment.
Yes, let's get Martin to show us what he actually did. Yes.
I'm not sure I can.
Do you do anything with your finger, Martin?
Well, the less said about that, the better, I think.
Outsource marketing is on a deep space mission. Your message is crucial. Leave coordinates and we'll warp back as soon as we re-enter range. The future awaits.
Yeah.
I liked that a lot.
Thank you.
Did you process that voice in any way? Presumably you were producing it as well. Did you process it so that it sounded like it was coming from spaceship or whatever?
I think we had a tiny bit of reverb on it, but when we put it onto his phone system, it kind of got lost.
Yes.
Which is a shame.
But it's nice if it's there.
Yeah.
If you're going to get somebody to record something, let's make it, you know, fun and on-brand and make it work for your company.
Yeah.
It's a very cool little IVR script, but also it was so fun to do.
Thank you. Yeah,
well,
nice
if you think that was fun, Sam... Well, it's now time for the wild card.
I know what you're going to say.
Martin, could
I've
you
been
pick
here before?
One of the scripts for Sam or for me and give us a new direction, a new character, a new motivation?
Well, yeah, and because of what we've been talking about, can I pick one for both of you?
Yes, yes, I'll do it. Do it, do it, do it.
All right, yes, you can. So Sam's in charge.
So the wild card that I had initially was audiobooks, romance. First script, audiobooks, romance for Sam, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And then for Mark, just because I want to hear it now, is Formula One on the second script.
That's cool. That's cool.
So you're going to do romance fiction.
Romance. Yeah. Okay. Oof. Okay. Let's see.
Fighters ready, hailing from Territory 5832. Billy Tanton. Coming in at £167, the lean, mean fighting machine. Entering the ring is a vicious young fighter from Denmark. Loves hurting his opponents. He's like a bull. He doesn't know when to quit.
I'd listen to that book. I really would listen to that.
The
book.
More we went through that, I thought how inappropriate my choice was. For
Although that script was separate lines originally, it works as a piece of prose together, in fact.
Yeah. Once you're given something very specific like that and a script that actually doesn't, well, obviously wasn't written in that way, I find it fascinating. It really breathes new life into a script, actually.
It really does.
That was quite fun to do. I don't know if it was particularly romance fiction, but
I liked it.
It was prose anyway. But
so, Sam, before I do Martin's other suggestion, let's get Martin to do his, shall we?
Hang on.
Oh, yes.
You don't get away with it that easily, Martin.
Right.
So, Sam, I'm sure you've got something good up your sleeve.
Yes, I hope so. I wanted you to be a highwayman at a hold-up. But I think script one would be too easy. Too easy. So I'm going to ask you to be a highwayman at a hold-up for script two.
Wow.
It's your inner Dick Turpin working.
Oh, a highwayman. My first thought for this, I saw Tombstone the other day. My voice in my head immediately went to Doc Holliday. And he's kind of a highwayman, isn't he? He's a bit of a cowboy.
Kinda. Maybe.
So, yeah, I'll try it like that. And I'm not, I don't have a great American accent, so this could just be ridiculous. But
it's the joy of the wild card, don't worry.
This
absolutely.
Is the fun of the wild card.
Right. Outsource marketing is on a deep space mission. Your message is crucial. Leave coordinates and we'll walk back as soon as we re-enter range. The future awaits.
Ooh. Not what I was expecting.
I utterly love that. I can see why you became a voice actor 5 years ago.
Thank you.
I loved that.
There was a depth to it, Sam, wasn't there?
There was.
If you kind of think highwayman in the broad terms, yes, absolutely it works.
My hand was in the shape of a pistol. We won't talk about fingers. We'll just talk about hand in the shape of a pistol. But yeah, I didn't, like you were saying just now, Sam, you didn't know where you were going to land when you started speaking. I had an idea of what I would try, but it didn't come out how I thought it was going to come out.
Well, this is it. And often that happens, doesn't it? Even in a directed session, because you'll kind of open your mouth and sometimes they'll love it and sometimes, but at least it gives them a baseline to work from. But sometimes you surprise yourself. You think, well, I didn't know that I could do that.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. That was cool. I really enjoyed that.
It's one of the first things I was sort of taught back in the day was a good way, and this is perfect for it, picking random character types for scripts that they don't normally belong in. You can choose emotions that normally don't belong in scripts as well, as a really good way to practice embodying different things, because all words can have different interpretations.
Absolutely, that's pretty much what we celebrate here every week. So where are we going with yours, Armark?
So we're going for F1 commentary. But with script
with outsourced
two,
marketing.
That's difficult. So fast. Down on the outside straight, outsourced marketing is on a deep space mission. Your message is crucial. Leave coordinates and we'll be back soon as we re-enter range. The future awaits.
So good.
That was excellent.
I almost warped into horse racing, though.
Well,
potentially.
But is there a kind of synergy?
There is a synergy,
two?
I think.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was nice. I felt the energy and I could feel the power of the vehicles, whizzing past.
Yeah.
And what I liked was that little bit that you put in at the beginning, which helped you get into it.
I think you have to be able to get into it, exactly right.
But very cleverly, because you know what you're doing, you could so easily drop that.
Yes, quite. I mean, it's about the micro pause before the actual beginning word of the script,
Literally, seven frame pause there, if that. You can go, whoosh, get in there.
Which, on a timeline, you'd be able to see. If you extended it, you would be able to see
Absolutely.
Where that was, yeah.
But also, you started outsource marketing hard.
Yes.
Do you see what I mean? So that was an absolute masterclass in how to add a little bit of humanization at the beginning, or a pre-life
at the beginning, to be able to get into it,
that you can use or not use. That's so important.
If you know about editing, then you can do that as a voice actor, and you know that you are giving the editor, whoever that editor is,
a helping hand.
Mm.
That, I mean, that tiny little thing that you did just then was impressive.
Mm.
Just that. I thought it was really good.
I'm going to take that.
Oh, you're doing very well today, boys.
Well, as always, we've put the scripts in the show notes so you can have a try yourself at home.
Yes, you certainly can. So, Martin, I would love you to tell us how you made that move from database manager to voice actor.
Because it's not an obvious jump, is it, Sam?
No. Not an obvious jump.
When I first started telling people the story, I thought, oh, what a boring story. It sounded so boring to me. But the more voiceover or voice actors and voiceover artists that I speak to, there seemingly is this whole band of people who came to VO perhaps later than a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I was coming up to 40 and got made redundant from my 20-year journey through databases. And I thought, I'm never going to be able to try anything different again. And I don't believe that now. I think I'd been programmed into thinking 40 was this number, you know, life begins at 40 or that's your last chance.
Yeah.
And really don't believe that anymore. But yeah, so I never had any experience in it. And I was living the life of redundancy Riley, spending all my money and getting towards the end of that money. And I thought, well, I need to do something. So I literally got to the point where I was looking around at the skills that I'd built up outside of my database management, because I didn't really want to do data for the rest of my life.
Yes, because at that point you go, what are my transferable skills?
Yeah, and
other
than data, there were none. But I'd done lots of stuff outside of work that was quite creative. So I was always into music, did some
record. Say, you've got all the music background.
Yeah, so that was what it was. I saw my recording gear on my desk and thought, oh, I wonder if I could do something with that in terms of maybe recording some vocalists or some acoustic demos for people, that sort of thing. Started looking at equipment online, thought, oh, buy that microphone, you know, these headphones, that sort of thing. And once you start doing that, then Facebook starts sending you the adverts. Buy these speakers.
That's true.
Yes.
Buy the audio interface, all that sort of thing.
But there's still quite a big jump from buying kit and thinking, oh, I can do that, to actually doing it. What was that journey?
It was a continued scroll on Facebook to an advert that said, record your own voiceovers from home. It seems so odd that my voiceover career started from a Facebook ad.
You must have been reasonably successful reasonably quickly for it to have been something that you think, actually, this has got legs.
I was doing other bits and pieces, so in the background. So I was doing some sort of headshot photography for people, a bit of website maintenance and that sort of thing. So I think it was longer than I wanted it to be, but I think I was trying to push it too fast, if that makes sense, because I wanted it to work, because I was enjoying it.
The journey is always longer than people expect it to be.
Did you go and do some training?
The advert was for Gravy for the Brain, as I'm sure sure you're aware.
Oh, yeah.
So I signed up to their website and did that for a long while. I got to a point where I was relying on that too much. So I was kind of holding myself back to start with. And it wasn't until I started one-to-one training with a coach that's really when my career started to sort of move faster.
One-to-one training is absolutely fantastic if you kind of know where you want to go.
The basics.
Know what skills you want to brush up on. You know, you've got to have a certain amount of knowledge, and then I think it really works well. So that kind of combination. So that's a kind of classic walkthrough, isn't it, Martin?
Yeah.
I'm going to learn the basics here, and then I know kind of where I want to springboard off to, and that's when the one-to-one training is useful.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's such a common thing you hear when you talk to other VOs as well.
Training goes on for longer than you expect. I think that's really...
I think training goes on throughout your career, Sam, to be fair.
For sure. I mean, I absolutely. I'm always doing workshops and training. It's so useful. Mm.
There'll always be someone who knows something that you don't know.
And
just a different take on it as well.
And pushing yourself out of your comfort zone.
Mm.
Yeah, as we've demonstrated in this very podcast in the last hour.
Well, of course, which I did recently with you, Sam, in a course about improvisation. I pushed myself right out of my comfort zone, didn't I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
Oh, Martin, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I have. I was thinking, just as we were wrapping up then, it's genuinely one of my favourite podcast experiences I've had. It was so so fun and such.
Stop.
I know you sort of say it's a simple concept, but it's a really well thought out concept and structure. I think I really liked it.
I didn't even pay him to say that.
To be fair, we absolutely love it because we get to meet new people all
every
the
week,
time,
indeed.
And everybody kind of opens our eyes to new stuff, which you've definitely done.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, a reminder that all of Martin Wiskin's details can be found in the show notes.
Yes, and of course the scripts are there too. So do hit the follow button on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Actually, I think we should get all of our guests to leave reviews on Apple Podcasts. Yeah.
Hint, hint. That's it for this week. Thanks again to Martin Wiskin. We'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking all together now,
How do you say that?
How do you say that?